Good evening, everybody. So glad you're here tonight. Thank you for being here. Take your Bibles out. We are going to be in many places, but we're going to be reading in Psalms, Book of John, here and there. I want to speak to you tonight about... Thank you, baby. I've never preached without this picture in my Bible, me and Kim on our wedding day, and what she wrote on the back of it made me, if I'm anything, it's because of that. I want to close out our Lego My Ego series Sunday. Kind of want to turn a corner, and I want this to kind of get us thinking in that direction. I want to talk tonight about listening to God, hearing His voice. It almost is it almost is something that you just don't hear talked about very much. There is a big swing right now. You know how the pendulum always is moving, and there's a big swing right now. I can remember it in the 70s. I can remember it in the late 80s, early 90s. There's a big swing now with the New Age movement, and a lot of you can buy a rock and it'll heal you. I'm telling you, we're in the wrong business. We need to be selling rocks and flowers or something. You don't need that to listen to God. What you need to hear from God is the Holy Spirit of the living God inside of you, and you have to be willing to listen. I've mentioned this gentleman before, and I'm going to talk about him again tonight by way of introduction, and then we're going to pray. One of the most brilliant minds documented in the 20th century belonged to a man who was a genius, certified genius. His name is Rob Bollinger. No, just kidding. He won the Nobel Prize at a very, very early age, and they made a movie about him, and the movie was called A Beautiful Mind. Some of you have probably heard it or seen it. He was a professor at MIT. In his 20s, he was a professor at MIT. That's awesome. His name was John Nash, and at the height of his career, at the height of his greatness, if you will, he had a serious breakdown. I guess all breakdowns are serious, but he had a breakdown that messed with his mind. It stopped him dead in his tracks. Some of the things that he would do had many people concerned, obviously. He would, in the middle of his lectures, he would just blurt out that he was the Pope. And he believed that for that moment in time. And other times he would claim that there were foreign governments and dignitaries that were trying to hunt him down, and they were going to steal his brain, and just a bunch of, he was just out there. And he had this problem, and he said the problem began when he started to hear voices in his head. And the voices in his head got so loud that he didn't know which voice was real, which voice is the one that, and again, listen now, we're talking about a genius who was able to use his mind for great things, but he had so many voices in his head that it stole that which made him who he was and made him strong in that area. They would play on his fears. These voices in his head, they destroyed almost all of his relationships. He lived literally terrified. And the clinical diagnosis Mr. Nash had was paranoid delusions. That's what they called it. But I say all that to say there's an important part of the story I left out. Over time, and obviously with therapy and much practice, Mr. Nash got to where, unfortunately, he had already gone too far and he was in a facility. But he learned to take those voices and single them out one by one, because the voices never went away, but he learned to recognize the ones that would lead to problems and you know, death of relationships and et cetera, et cetera. The negative voices, he was able to recognize them, push them to the side, and then kind of deal with all these other ones, and he would just keep going until eventually he would make a decision. Or in the church, we call that discernment. Now, I'm not saying that's what he had. I guess in a way, but and I tell that story because I believe that, and I'm again generally speaking, I believe the church needs to get back to striving to hear from God. There's a lot of decisions made. I want to preface it again. Man, I ain't got all the answers, and I am no better than anybody else. I'm no more spiritual than you, but I've been many places and seen a lot of things. And when you have to stick to a very, very rigid time schedule, or I know when we would go play shows and lead worship for churches that had multiple services, I mean, man, it just didn't work that way. And usually we didn't, you know, they didn't book us again because, you know, on one hand, they tell you to mind the Spirit of the Lord, so we think you mean that, so we do. But they really didn't, because the greatest example was when we were in Chicago playing for a ministry up there, and it was an incredible time of worship. The floor was literally, I mean, it was probably 8 deep, people just kneeling and praying, some just laying out and calling out on the Lord and being saved and healed and delivered. And Rob he always ran our front of house. And so he's running sound, and he's being told by the leader of this ministry to turn us off because we were going too long. Well, we weren't going too long. God was driving. We weren't driving. And he kept wanting Rob to shut us down. And Rob said, "I ain't shutting him down." That's when you got a good road manager. He said, I'm not shutting him down. And I believe you spoke into our ears, right, Robbie? And I could hear it, and he was saying to Bubby, look, he wants to cut you off. Okay. Not going to happen. But that spirit gave way and made a way for the Holy Spirit to begin to remove himself from the situation. And he, afterwards, after my son gave him the tongue lashing to end all tongue lashings in the name of Jesus, and he said exactly what I said earlier. Don't meet in, you know, and all stand in a circle of prayer and say you mind the Lord and whatever, you know, you follow the Spirit. And then when we do, you want to cut us off so you have time to preach. There was a whole lot of gospel happening. And now one of the two things was wrong. I mean, we're not all right. There's right, and then there's not right. Yes? And so either he heard from God, and we needed to shut down the salvations, the deliverances, the worship, the praise. We either needed to shut that down, or we needed to let God have his way. Based on, we both couldn't be right. And unfortunately, man, I wish I could say that was A, the first time that it ever happened, and B, that he, the gentleman that was wanting that shut down, understood why that was a big deal. He didn't. He just didn't get it. In fact, he said this. Well, I think you were going so long, I noticed one person get up and leave and go get coffee in the coffee thing, and then, you know, come back, but he stayed out there long, and we were losing the crowd. I won't sacrifice the crowd for one. Ever. And I'll never change what God tells me to do for anyone. Ever. And he literally said that I wanted to make sure I had time to preach because I knew there was people that needed to hear. And we just couldn't understand what did he think was happening. I love the times when we're in a spirit of worship and I don't have time to preach because the preaching's being done. You don't have to have, you know, 3 points all starting with the same letter for God to save somebody. Amen? So listening to God, what's it about? What's it? Let's talk about that. God, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you, Lord, for our health. I thank you, God, that we are able to come to a place and open your word. And God, you speak to us. You speak to us. Father, we're not coming asking if you speak. We're coming asking you to teach us to listen. Lord, we have to learn to listen. If we don't learn to listen, we will miss what you have for us. So God, I pray that you would just minister to us through the word, and we bless your name. And it's in that name we have the authority to pray these things. Amen and amen. Are you in the book of John? I just wondered if you're there. We're not going there yet. I just want to make sure you're there. Now, you can Let me ask this. At the risk of me asking you to judge other people, you know that's not what I'm asking, but somebody's going to, that's what they're going to hear, and so I'll get a phone call. But how can you tell when an individual is hearing from God? Well, let me start with, can you tell? Okay, cool. Okay, so then how can you tell? Very good. Yeah, if what they're saying, yeah. Right on, yeah. Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and that's the beauty of our spirits bearing witness with one another. Absolutely. I've had many things confirmed that way, that it is, and that's a beautiful thing, man, because, you know, that's, I mean, if we're all being totally honest, there's many times that we've, anybody in here that knows Jesus, you've had to do something that you didn't fully understand. I mean, like being saved. You can't explain that. I mean, you can explain the change in your life. You can explain the gospel. But God coming to earth as an infant, as a newborn baby, growing up, laying his life down, taking the torture and the punishment, buried, raising again. Amen. We're going to celebrate the junk out of that in a couple of weeks. But that story, in faith we believe that. And every answer that you gave is correct. You can identify those who are listening to and receiving and then operating on what they hear from God. Let me give you a couple of examples, and you can usually, you know, see these a mile away. Two people suffer from an illness. You got same illness, same age, same situation. One becomes bitter while the other one becomes just a beacon of hope. Same illness. Again, we can't both be right. Two people, same situation, living with minimal finances, maybe living check to check, as they say, or you got more month than you got money and you can't figure out, you know, you go sit down with an advisor somewhere and they'll say, you got to cut back. And you leave the room thinking, there is nowhere to cut back. I know none of y'all have ever been there. I've been there, and, you know, you're raising kids. I was raising kids on $5.27 an hour. It was fun. Okay, that part wasn't true. That wasn't fun at all, but, man, I learned a lot of lessons. Amen. But two people living with minimal finances, one is consumed with discontentment and even adopts a poverty mindset where they feel guilty getting blessed from God, or they think, what have I done that God is mad at me? But then you have someone else that is just radiant, and they are giving thanks, and they are full of joy. And when it's time for testimony or whatever, they're the first to raise their hand. And you know their situation is that, you know, you had to borrow to get the token to ride the bus to church. And yet you are the most joy-filled person I've ever met. You both can't be right. You can tell who's listening and believing what God is saying, yes? So two people elevated in their job. Promotion. And they get to a certain place where now finances ain't an issue. They're making money. They're doing good. And one uses the position for the power. I see it in churches all the time. You know, men and women in authority in a religious setting. I ain't gonna say church because that ain't what Jesus ordained. But in a religious setting, if they need something done, they will speak into you that very thing and say that you. And they manipulate. People sometimes use position as a way to exercise power, whereas another would use that position to enhance the lives of others. They're not trying to tell everyone that they're in charge. If you have to do that, then you're not. They're not going around telling everyone they're in charge. Rather, they have the mindset of, I want to train my replacement. I want someone else to raise up and do way more than I've ever done. You've heard me say it. You've heard me say it for 18 years if you've been here that long. And if you've never heard it, you're going to hear it tonight for the first time, and then it'll 100 times going forward. Is that if my children or those whom I influence do not do more for the kingdom of God than I have done, somewhere along the way, I've dropped the ball. Because that's our commission, man. That is our job, is the generation teaches the generation behind. And as technology continues to increase and technology grows, and again, I don't get upside down on anybody's method of how they share the gospel. I really don't. I mean, you know, this ain't the 1700s. I'm glad. For a whole lot of reasons. I people talk about the good old days, and then they start talking about their life, and I'm like, that don't sound good. No, I like the fact that I got 700 channels on my. I like that. I only watch like four of them, but them four are in high definition, by cracky. Two people live in a universe where God created and where God is always present. One of them will think like the psalmist in Psalm 10, verse 4, where the Bible says, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Psalm 10, verse 4. Or you could think like the psalmist in Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord continually before me. The first one says, there is, in all of my thoughts, there is no room for God. The second verse in Psalm 16, 8, I have set the Lord continually before me. That both of those psalms were written by the same psalmist. So what's the difference? The difference is our mindset, our willingness, our eagerness, our passion, our zeal, our diligence to want to hear from God. Because we all hear voices. Somebody don't make me feel alone here. We all hear voices. Amen. And we make a choice to follow one of them. And we've got to learn to follow the one that's from God. Some voices are distorted. Some are dangerously close to the truth, but they're not. Those are the worst kind. Some voices will speak to you about compromise. Everybody's doing it. All the cool kids are doing it. And then there's a voice that's going to keep you on a path of holiness that is going to keep joy coming in your life. It's going to put the right people in your path. And you got to listen for the voice that's going to increase the kingdom, a voice that speaks of truth, of love, of forgiveness. John 10, I believe that the voice that you listen to will shape your life. We see it in the natural. If you had a dad that was, you know, into mechanics or, you know, motors, engines, whatever, and you listen to that voice all the time talking about, there's a real good chance that you'll have a desire and a passion for that as well. I mean, my dad knew a lot about cars. My dad was a mechanic in the Army and worked on cars and Jeeps and trucks, and you get it. But his passion was music. So that was always in the house. People always coming over playing, talked about it all the time, and it shaped my life as well. The Bible says in John 10, verses 4 and 5, that there are two mindsets that are vying for your allegiance. But there is a voice above every other voice. Amen. And if you're here and in a relationship with Jesus, you have the ability to hear that voice. Amen. John 10, verse 5. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. So, basically, when the shepherd has brought out all the sheep that are his, the shepherd will go ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. See, so many times we'll follow a voice that we don't even know where it came from. We don't recognize it, but it's easy. It's simple. It's pleasurable. There's fun in sin for a season. And all throughout the Bible, those who've lived with the power of God all over them are those who have listened to God. And we could just give example after example. Just right now, man, take 10 seconds and just go start at Genesis and think about the people that's going to pop into your head that listened to the voice of God. And if they wouldn't have, it would have not turned out well for them. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 says, "The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you will obey it." John 1:1 says that Jesus is the word. Living this way and striving for this, it's not a new concept, and I know you know that. We're not reinventing the wheel here, but it is one that many times the church, and you and I who are the church, we can get kind of complacent and a little apathetic when it comes to because you know we're doing all right. We own 8 or 10 of these books called the Bible, and we read and we pray, and it can't stop there though. It can't stop there. Have you ever tried to read the Bible and you like read the same verse 27 times and it meant nothing and you felt nothing and you? I have. Have you ever prayed and it was like God was on vacation or something because I kept getting the wrong number? The prayers would just fall out of my mouth onto the floor. Yeah, we all experience that. Preachers too. It's called many things. I use the word discernment because I think that is an accurate word. But I love in 1 John 2:20. I love that. I think I have the verses of that. Did I load anything? I didn't. No. Cool. I probably don't know how to save it. But in 1 John 2:20, it uses this word in the King James Version. It says, but you have an unction from the Holy One. An unction. You don't hear that word anymore. We don't really use that word anymore. It's a cool word. And in the New King James, it's translated into the literal meaning. It is anointing. So you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, but anybody in here that knows all things? Yeah, you do. If you didn't, God wouldn't say that. If that wasn't true, God would not have placed it on John's heart to write that. But you do. Oh, I did. Awesome. Oh, no, you don't have to apologize. Because I normally don't. We know all things. It's that word know that is interesting. It is a continual act of learning. It is a continual act of listening. It's a continual act of changing your mindset to match God's mindset. Look at it again. You have an anointing from the Holy One, God. You have an anointing from God, and you know all things. An anointing from God. Real quick, because we won't get done anyway. You know how it goes. What's the anointing? I mean, and I ask the question not because I'm trying to be cute, but I'm asking the question because one of the beauties of Living Water is her diversity and the various backgrounds, church backgrounds that people have. And some of the refreshment that they received was they came to a church that didn't talk about tradition. They opened the Bible and we just read it and do what it says to the best of our ability. So what's the anointing? What's it? Huh? Definitely. Huh? Power of the Holy Spirit. Jeff, you antsy as heck, man. Well, go on then. I wish you had my vantage point. He's like.
The anointing, to me, it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it is. Through that anointing of the Holy Spirit, it allows you to walk out your Christian life the way Jesus intended it to be. That's why he says in James, don't merely just look at the word, do what. A lot of times we read the word and it speaks right to us about what we're doing wrong, and we walk away and forget about it. But the Holy Spirit won't let you forget about it. He'll put the weight on you.
Yeah, he's like that.
Dude, you know, straighten up.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's the anointing. And when you flow in the anointing of the of God and the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
when you reach a kindred spirit,
mm-hmm.
they know it and you know it.
Mm-hmm. It's that discernment.
You're all the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're thinking the same, everything's the mm-hmm. same.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful because all of the things that were said, it is the power of God in your life. It is your giftings and being filled with the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, read the story of when David got anointed to be king. The prophet anointed him, that was to signify that he was called out and separated from a group. It hasn't changed this side of the cross. That anointing of the Holy Spirit of God in your life is a calling out and a separation so that you can live a sanctified, that's another big church word that just means separated and called out from among the group. Your Bible says that there will be a remnant. A remnant that will be out of all the folks who say, I'm Christian, there will be a remnant of those folks that are ushered in to heaven. And you know what a remnant is. A remnant is a small part of a bigger thing. So it's imperative that we can hear and listen and discern the Spirit of God. Because I don't want to not be part of that remnant. I want to go against the flow, not for attention, and not. It's too easy to go with the flow. I'm also not suggesting that we, just for the sake of being different, do things different. No, do what God tells you to do. You be you, I'll be me. We're all going to hear from God. And I think you'll be amazed, and I'll be amazed that he's kind of saying the same thing. Because what God is not is double-minded. But you must have the anointing. With that anointing, when you get that unction, I just love that word, unction from the Holy Spirit, you know all things. Now, we just need to talk about that for just a little bit more, and then we're going to move on. A 10-year-old kid knows all things that a 10-year-old kid can know. Most of the time, that's more than enough. That ain't no joke, man. That they pray and believe, and God answers. We never mind. A 10-year-old boy knows all things. Girl knows all things. A 5-year-old kid knows all things that a 5-year-old kid could know. A 56 and 9/10 of a man, because I'm about to have a birthday, June 27th, write that down, I'll wait. Perfect. I have the ability, you have the ability, to know all things because we are all at different maturity levels spiritually. maybe not everyone's different, but for the most part, in a room full of people, there are different levels of maturity. And what we've got to understand is we can know all things that our maturity level will allow us to know, because God's no fool, and he's not going to give you something that he knows you're going to be irresponsible with. And when was David anointed as a kid to be king? Yes. And then when he has taken the throne and everybody went out to war, he decided he wasn't going. And he looked over the other side and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. I just think that's funny. Bathsheba's taking a bath. So he lusts after her, has his servant go get her. Of course, we know the story. He commits adultery, ends up murdering her husband. They have a baby. The baby dies. You know the story. Now, he was anointed. Correct? In Psalm 50 is the psalm where he repents. And he created me a clean heart, O God. And then he says this interesting phrase, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. God would not take the Holy Spirit from us. But what God will do is remove the anointing off of your life. And that's what happened to David. So his prayer of repentance was, please put back that anointing that was on me before I was an idiot. Now that's a paraphrase, obviously. But he's begging God, don't take away your touch on my life. Don't take that ought to make us shout, because we have this anointing, we have this unction, we have this ability because of God and because of the Holy Spirit, because of the price Jesus paid. We have the unction and the anointing to know all things, but you can't be doing life the way you and I want to do life and expect your anointing to remain. It won't. And I think sometimes that we've almost preached the gospel so easy, and it's not easy. We can't pretty up the cross. The cross is one of the most hideous things in all of history. But to a born-again child of God, it is beautiful. But you can't preach it beautiful, because if you're not a Christ follower, you won't understand the gravity of the cross. Thus, you've weakened the gospel and diluted it to the degree that there is no anointed power behind it. And you can fill a room. Man, I'm not interested in filling a room. I'm interested in increasing the kingdom. That will fill a room. That'll fill a room. So if we are to experience the closeness, the intimacy of God that will literally revolutionize our world, we got to hear God speak. But now, this is where I'll start meddling a little bit, and I'll back off. If you think God still speaks, raise your hand. Everybody participate. And if you don't, I'm not going to call you out on it. But you think, okay, 100%, that's awesome. Don't raise your hand. But do you believe that? We think that. Do we really, really believe that God speaks? That we can hear his voice in such a way that it will lead, guide, and direct our lives? Every decision. You can go in and I only know my life. I'm not making anything about me, but I only know my life. And we were on the road on time, and Rob, you and John will remember this. And we were playing a show, and we stopped somewhere to eat, and this lady, I believe she had some kids, didn't have you know, enough money to get the kids something to eat. So we just bought anything they wanted. And we all heard God say the same thing. It was creepy in a good way. That we all, at the same time, began to lean into this person, reaching into our pocket, saying, get anything you want. Now, you're like, okay, bragger. No, let me finish. After that happened, the workers, we ordered our order, and the workers filled bags full of food for us to take on the bus. I mean, it was just bag after bag. I never got so sick of French fries in all my life. I mean, you hear the voice of God and operate in that and obey that. Brace yourself, because he will bless you. We all think God speaks, but I want to sincerely and out of love challenge you. You've got to believe that God will speak. You've got to, when your feet hit the floor in the morning, and I'm not a morning person, but when my feet hit the floor, I want to, and I to the best of my ability, when I leave the bedroom and go into my spot and begin to pray and begin to read, I believe that God is going to speak to me for that day. He might just speak to me for the next hour. And then I gotta be ready to listen. Remember, know all things. It means to continue to learn, to continue to listen, to continue to know, to continue. You can't just one and done it. It has to become not a lifestyle. It has to become a life. That is how that God provides us with the abundant life. It's not because we get more stuff. It's because we hear the voice of God and the Spirit fills us. And that abundant life, it's translated as an overflowing life. So the Spirit of God overflows out of you onto somebody else. Are you feeling it? That's how you can know when someone has heard from God, and you can know when someone hasn't. Do I believe that? Do we believe that God will speak? And I know we want to, and I'm not saying you don't, but there's a whole lot of things, because it's sometimes hard to articulate and hard to understand, that we in faith, we know God's able. God promised he would speak. God said, Jesus said, I got to go away, man, but I ain't going to leave you alone. But if I don't go, I can't send the Comforter. So you need to let me go. Because when I go, you'll have with you the one that will walk with you and talk with you and be there forever with you. Now Jesus said that, and we all believe in Jesus, but do we believe Jesus? Do we believe that comforter, that living, dynamic, vibrant spirit of the living God indwells us and fills us and gives us the ability to know all things? And then as you grow spiritually and mature in your walk with the Lord, you will know all things. And as you grow, one of the biggest mistakes that I see people make in the church is folks who think they're more spiritual than they really are. And instead of just coming out and saying where you're at, you just keep chugging along, hoping that, you know, Justin's going to rub off on me. Some of Jesus that's on Justin will rub off on me. And so, you know, I'm just going to hang in there and kind of see what happens. You'll blow it every time, because you can't live off of someone else's Jesus. Do we believe it? When let me tell you where to start, and I'm not being condescending. I want to help those who are still trying to figure out how to hear God's voice. Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you've been saved a long time, but your church didn't teach that. It was just, you know, I'm going to read a Bible and you got to do what I say. Approach praying like you are entering into a conversation and you desperately want to hear the shepherd's voice. Just approach your prayer like that. You don't have to just come with, you know, I caught myself one time, and I've said this before, and it embarrassed me then, and it's probably going to embarrass me a little now, but I'm just going to say it. Have you, think about what you pray. Think about, God, just be with Jeff. Just be with Jeff today, and be with Lynn today, and be with Jim today. Be with Justin today, God, as they go about their day. That's the dumbest prayer in the world. He's with you. Why are you, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Why are you, God's like, okay, let's. Okay, you got that down. Let's really have a conversation here. And I ain't putting down anybody's prayer. I'm just saying we don't think about some of the things we say. God said he's never going to leave you or forsake you. So he's with you. So that's a win. The question is, do you believe him? If you don't believe him, you're going to pray that he'll be with you. Hear his voice. Experts call it when there's a conversation in the natural. Psychologists call it an internal awareness. In other words, if, and Kim and I we're practicing this more and more because my ADD will kick in and I'm a people watcher, and But I want to get better at being present when I'm with Kim. So if there has to be an internal awareness where when she's talking that I am engaged in what she's saying and vice versa. And in the spiritual realm, that is, when we go to pray, there's got to be a spiritual awareness that you can't be praying and worrying about your day. I didn't say throw caution to the wind and just, no, but I'm saying in that moment, you will never hear the voice of God if there's another voice louder in your head. The voice of worry, the voice of fear, the voice of disillusionment, the voice of the enemy. So approach prayer, and we'll stop here. I encourage you, and again, don't be so hard on yourself, man. If you're just learning how to do this and you've been saved for a decade and a half, it's okay, man. It don't matter when you start and how you start. It matters that you finish. So just own it and be like David. Man, create me a clean heart. Thank you for the restart. Now I'm going to now interact with you, God, in a way where I can hear your voice, because you've sure heard mine enough. And it's a conversation. Start there. Start there. And next week we're going to dive much deeper. I'm going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. If you're hearing from God, people you do life with will see the fruit of the Spirit. If the people you do life with see the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, money back guarantee, you're not hearing from God. I didn't say that you weren't saved. I'm just saying you're living life for you. And I'm living life for me. Say, Jeff, just remind me. I'll close with this. But the Holy Spirit, remember the anointing? Where you know all things? Yeah. The unction. Galatians 5 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Look at it. Love. So if you speak words of hate, be it sarcastically, be it as part of a joke that isn't funny, if you have anyone in your life that you can't love, you need to go ask God to speak to you, because you have to produce love. That is part of the fruit, singular, one thing with many parts. You can't say, man, I ain't so good with the love part, but man, I got this joy part down. No. Your fruit's rotten. Yeah. Yeah, and you can't pick and choose, FYI. Can't pick and choose. I'm losing my patience with these kids. You need to go talk to God. Losing my patience with this church. You go talk to God, preacher. Miss Kim always told us, and Heather's in the room, she'll tell you. She'd always tell the kids, nice matters, kindness matters. How do I know I'm hearing from God? This is what people will see: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Any one of those things missing or you're falling short on, find a place, let God do most of the talking, and listen for his voice. Amen. We'll pick it up next week. You got your challenge, right? Approach God like approach God like he knows more than you, and listen. Amen. I encourage you to invite 20 people Sunday. I believe the message. One of the hardest things to do is start a series and end a series. It really is. But I am so sure that Sunday is exactly what God wants me to speak on, that I wish tomorrow was Sunday. But it's not, so he must not be done speaking to me. God, I love you, and I love these people, God. I thank you for our body. I thank you for this church. I thank you that your spirit, God, is welcome here. That we are not afraid to ask for you to speak to us because we want to hear from you. God, I don't want to take another step and not know what your desire is for my life. I don't want to make a decision until I know this is from you. And God, I just relinquish any control that I thought I might have had over my life. I relinquish any control that I thought I had over my marriage. I just relinquish and I open my hands to any control that I thought I had over this church. And I come to you, God, and I ask you to speak to us. Speak to us. God, speak to us like you did when we took time to pray. When we took time to lay on our face and call out your name, speak to us like that again. We long to hear your voice. I thank you in advance for the presence and the power and the outflowing of the Spirit of God in this place Sunday. I ask you to bring in the lost and the wayward. I ask you to bring the Christian who is dying on the vine. The 4445 Wilmington Pike. Home. We love you, Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Thank you.